Why does this room look amazing? What'd you change?
Oh, I just got these custom shades from Blinds.com. It's all online, so it's really easy. Great price, too.
Ugh, I remember shopping for Blinds. I waited around all day just to get a quote.
Hi, sorry I'm late. I know you said just the bedroom, but what do you feel about the
bathroom?
I feel
like I had to say yes, just to get rid of her.
All right, just go ahead and sign here and we'll get everything
taken care of. It took forever, and the worst part, hidden fees. How about you?
I chatted with my Blinds.com design consultant on my time, got free samples, and it was all super high quality at a great price. Plus, they make it easy to DIY or add installation like I did.
Blinds.com sounds way better.
Way better. And everything comes with their 100% satisfaction guarantee. Plus, check this out. I can control them from my phone.
Whoa, magic.
There's a better way. Shop Blinds.com for up to 45% off. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Odyssey celebrates National Hispanic Heritage Month, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Grand Biggs.
Biggs time.
Biggs.
With Molly and Haw. Biggs time.
The Biggs Report with Brad Biggs.
Biggs time.
Biggsy.
His name is Brad Biggs.
Brad Biggs talks football with you.
Molly and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 6-7 to the score. Brad Biggs joins us on the Aturo Sports Hotline, your hometown tire, Aturo.com. He is the football man of the Chicago Tribune, a longtime contributor to the station and a valued friend, and he joins us now. Big Z!
Morning, Brad.
Morning, boys. What's going on?
Well, you tell us. The pad's back on and the offense disappears. We see Caleb Williams completing two passes during an 11-on-11 sequence. A lot of injuries, a lot of beaten-up players. Why is the offense worse when the pads come on? And does that mean they need more playing time? And will we see it against Buffalo?
Yeah, I got to think you're going to see Caleb and the frontline guys against the Bills on Saturday in Orchard Park, noon kickoff here, Central Time. But we'll find out hopefully a little bit later on in the day from Matt Eberflus. I think he's fixing to sort of lay out loosely what the plan is. Obviously, plans can change, but they need the work. Why has the defense consistently been better since the Bears opened training camp? Well, it's year three for the system. Very little turnover on that defensive unit from last season. Most of those guys are back. Some of the guys have been in the system for 3 years, the bulk of them for two at least. And so everyone on offense is learning a new coordinator, new playbook, timing, spacing, things of that element. But it's a consistent struggle for the offense in practice, and if a rookie quarterback wasn't going through that, it would probably be stunning. Now, will it look different in preseason? We'll have to find out. I still think they're going to be okay here, guys. They've got all the offensive talent in the world you need around the quarterback. But one of the things when you look at it on a daily basis, when you're out there, you're like, you count them up. They're missing five starters on defense today. You know, it's not like Caleb and company is going against nothing but elite guys on defense. The secondary, most 60% of that's been missing for a while now. Montez Sweat's been out about a week. So, see what they accomplished a little bit later on this morning.
How is Caleb being coached from your perspective? Is it a guy who is they're tough on him on the field, but say publicly how positive the progress is, You know, we saw Matt Eberflus kind of be very bold about Nate Davis. Not saying he's going to take the same approach with his quarterback or needs to, but I just wonder, is your, in your observation, how would you describe the way that they are handling the coaching of Caleb Williams?
I think they're correcting things that need to, you know, when they need to be corrected. Like you'll see a lot of communication between snaps, between periods. If for the folks who watch Hard Knocks, they probably caught some glimpses of, you know, what that's like. You know, where they'll be referencing his footwork or finding out what he saw in the play, things of that nature, and then you get in the meeting room, and that's when you're looking at, okay, well, you know, your hips weren't where they needed to be on this throw. So I think they're correcting things. Probably trying to, you know, like anything else, you want to accentuate the positive. But they've got, they've got like five or six coaches they can put in that quarterback room at a time. So I don't think there's any shortage of analysis and then thought about how they present it to them.
So Big Z, the offensive line, obviously of concern. We see Wright leaves yesterday during practice, adding on to the many injuries that are going on. There's a great mystery revolving how injured, if injured, Nate Davis is, and if the guy just doesn't want to practice. It seemingly is every time a question comes to Matt Eberflus, he seems to be sending a message with it.
Yeah, you know, Wright had missed like three practices in a row, so it's a possibility that, you know, yeah, Darnell's going to be out there. He's just not going to do everything, that they're going to kind of ease him back in, if that makes sense. Yeah, with Nate Davis, I think another message via the friendly faces in the media room is required from the coach to the player there. Like, it's pretty evident they want to see him get on the field and stay on the field and track where it goes from there. And this can't be a surprise to anyone. It's kind of been his MO, even going back to when he was with the Titans, that things have got to be right for Nate to practice. I don't think he's in jeopardy of being cut here anytime soon, but clearly Matt Eberflus had to reach a point that he hasn't gotten really with another player going into year three, where he would be this candid, openly talking about a player's availability.
What'd you think of Hard Knocks? I was a little disappointed they didn't have a shot of you waiting at the elevator at the Canton stadium waiting for Ryan Poles to walk off of it.
I thought a little bit about it. It's like any show, sometimes the first episode or two, they've got to introduce a bunch of characters, right? Because it's sort of boring. Was there a lot of drama? No, not really. And that's some stuff that'll maybe unfold as camp goes along. It was obviously really well done. I mean, the one part was cheesy. Anybody in Chicago could take an L. What they wanted, W's or like, I don't know who wrote that. I thought some of the Caleb stuff was good. You know, you see Caleb sitting at Eberflus' desk, and you're like, okay, this is going to be interesting. And it's basically Eberflus talking, and the quarterback said, okay, uh-huh, yeah. I thought the Nick Saban stuff was great. You know, they could have done twice as much Nick Saban stuff, yeah. Right? And they could have cut out the, you know, here's the Austin Reed's family came from Florida to see him get.
That was great.
A couple
plays. That was a great story.
Like he's like every other guy at the bottom of the roster who's a undrafted rookie, and their parents come from parts far and wide to hopefully see their kid play. But I would have enjoyed a little bit more of Saban. they really didn't talk about the defense. You know, they said, well, it's been tough in Chicago for a while, but they were better last year. Well, at one point last year, they were 2-7. And when the season ended in that, what was it, about 48 hours after the season ended, you didn't know if Eberflus was going to keep his job.
That's
so they kind of just glossed over some of this stuff, and you're like, huh?
Why didn't they get into the fired coaches? That's good stuff.
I'm so glad you don't review television shows, Brad. I'm glad you're not.
Dave, you watch enough television as it is. You don't need recommendations for me to sit down in your little pink house and watch TV half the night.
Brad, help us out. So we talk about Velus Jones a lot.
How about that?
Him moving to the running back position, to me, it screams desperation. It screams like last chance to keep him on the roster. Can he do something here? He obviously isn't going to make the roster as a wide receiver because they got enough of there. What is going on with him? He's not a punt returner. He wasn't even lined up. They had, 15 guys trying it, not him. What is he? Where does he play? Does he make this football team?
Yeah, if you would have asked me this question going into the weekend, I would have felt pretty good about it because of the new kickoff rule, because I think he is a guy who's had a track record for success as a kickoff returner, and he's got the build. You know, when you talk about the size, the strength, the speed, and the change of direction ability, I think he's got a chance to be more impactful with these new rules because he's kind of built like a running back. One thing that I thought was really curious when they talked about it the other day was Eberflus said, yeah, we're going to try it during this block and then reevaluate it. Well, this block runs through Saturday's game in Buffalo. A handful of practices and maybe a handful of snaps as a running back against the Bills isn't a whole lot to evaluate when you're talking about a third-round draft pick and the guy's future in a position change, right? And I know it sounds simple. I would just put him in the backfield and give him the ball. There's a lot that goes into that, you know, in terms of footwork, in terms of the angles, in terms of understanding the blocks. If you put Velus Jones in the backfield, if I'm the defensive coordinator, I'm saying there's almost no chance it's a pass on this play. Like, I know it's run because what's his experience in pass protection? Well, what has he done there? Probably zero. And so you're simply not going to put him out there in a passing play. So that's a big tell or giveaway. It's going to be interesting. For Velus's sake, you would have wished this is a conversation that maybe went down in March or April, not early August.
How secure is Blassingame's hold on a roster spot? And how often have you seen them use a fullback during 11-on-11?
Yeah, they've been, they've got him out there. They're using him some, and that's a really good question because how much stuff do you have in the playbook for him? How good do you feel about that stuff? Like, is this core stuff that we're going to want on a weekly basis, or is this, maybe we use it 1 week, but against, this team and that team, we don't see it. How effective are some of the tight ends you have on the roster at sort of doing that kind of work? That's going to be one of those interesting questions, and there's going to be a lot of factors that play into it in terms of roster health, right? How many injured guys are they worried about at the end of August as they project to September 8th? And do they have to go heavy at one position or another because they might be carrying a guy or two that could have a short-term injury, not something that's going to land them, on IR or anything like that, but might take a week or two to clear up.
So, we were talking about the roster. We're talking about it was a nice moment on Hard Knocks where where they're Colin Johnson's going off and Caleb says something and DJ Moore is like, well, how many are we keeping? And we wonder, you know, I mean, that's the thing. How many are they keeping? Like, we do know. I mean, I know the first four. I know who they're keeping. Are they keeping a return guy? Are they keeping Colin Johnson? Who's
DeAndre Carter?
That's the question. Is there five or six? Could they? Why would you go six if you have that many guys that you know you're going to rely on and you're going to be playing, and there isn't kind of starting spots or not a lot of instant impact available for some of these guys beyond the four?
Yeah, you could, because you've seen them before. There's been some brief periods where they've carried seven. Maybe not starting the season with it, but they've gotten a seven. That's exactly he's on the roster. Well, wait a minute, how many do you think we're keeping? I was like, bingo right there. Yes. Colin Johnson, a guy who didn't practice yesterday, guys. So we'll need to stay out there on the field. And this will be a much bigger week for the new kickoff rule, because there's going to be 16 games this weekend, right? We're going to see all 32 teams in action. So you're going to get a better eye on it. And one thing I'll say, because I saw something, I can't remember where I saw it. It was shortly after the game in Canton, and it was like, well, they're getting the results they want with more returns. I think there was one touchback in the game. That's what all these teams are going to want. They want reps at this. So I don't think you're going to see anyone actively trying for a touchback in preseason. So whatever statistics you could draw from preseason, those aren't really going to be meaningful, because people just want to see reps, whether it's covering it, returning it, both ways there. So they will be avoiding touchbacks when we get to the regular season. We know they're clearly going to be strategic moments for coaches where they're going to prefer the touchback.
We heard from Patrick Mahomes. He likes playing in the preseason. Kyler Murray's not playing in the preseason. Every quarterback might have a different approach. Every team, a different plan. What is Josh Allen's plan for the Bills on Saturday? Because that would be a worthwhile test and good practice for the Bears defense.
Yeah, and that's one we got to see, because a lot of these coaches have gotten – different with this, guys, right? They've, we saw that Jonathan Gannon announced that Kyler Murray's not going to play in preseason. Well, that's Kyler Murray, which I guess you want to keep him healthy, but then how are you getting him up to speed with Marvin Harrison Jr., right? You want to get that relationship going. Is that just happening in practice? Okay. I mean, if that's the case, you roll with it, but I know that we've looked at it here the past couple of years, and you've seen coaches who they've just gone away from playing not just quarterbacks, like anybody in preseason at all, and the teams that are really good, the teams that are established, seem to get away with it, and it's not a big problem for them. Josh Allen a year ago for the Buffalo Bills threw 17 passes. So played a little bit, got warmed up just a little bit, and I think we all know what he is in the regular season.
Brad, who's their punt returner? I know they had a lot of guys trying out. That's going to be a bottom-of-the-roster decision unless they end up going with Rome, and that solves a couple problems, right?
Yeah, Rome and DeAndre Carter kind of look like the – guys who've gotten the most action here recently. But that's a great question, something I've kind of been keeping an eye on. And you knew Velus was out on that the other day when you're watching them do punt return drills, and they've got a handful of guys there, and he was on the other field, Velus was, I never got it last year. Like when the record is what it is, you're not going anywhere. And I get it, each game's important, but – yeah, because they talked about, you know, how he was doing it in practice and had more confidence. I'm like, well, why aren't you using him in the game? And they just never did.
Right.
And I don't blame
him. They don't trust him catching the ball. There's something about the higher trajectory that he struggles with. I think it's as simple as that. If he's going to fumble the ball, you can't have him out there.
Right, but they just, I don't know. Their actions didn't really match their their words, I guess is what I'm saying. But, you know, to not consider him now, I totally get it. And Carter would be the guy I would kind of look at there. And I just don't know if they want Rome out there doing that, but he would be interesting to watch in that position.
Great stuff, Brad. Really value your football opinion.
Thanks, buddy.
And the TV opinions, right?
No.
All opinions?
No.
How about Schwarber hitting three bombs?
How about
yesterday?
That? Baseball, yeah,
seven
baseball
RBI.
Thoughts.
He does.
Baseball Big with Biggs would be a good
Big
segment.
Biggs has
we could do that.
Loves baseball.
We could do that.
All right, we'll get with Mitch and we'll figure it out. You guys have a great day.
Thanks, Brad.
You're the best. That's our guy, Biggsy. He does. He has a lot of baseball.
Yeah, fans. He does. He's very astute.
No question about
Son's
it.
A very good pitcher. He does a lot of watching baseball.
Yep.
Doesn't sound game. Like he watches much television, but he watches a lot of baseball.
And he does. His house is not pink. Which
no, that's
pink.
A shot. That's you know that's
a John
that's
a, Cougar.
That's a long time shot at my Hoosier heritage, and that's okay. Whatever. It's Biggs.
Yeah, little pink house.
On brand.
It's totally on brand.
Totally on brand.
312-644-6767. That is the telephone number. Are you disturbed when you hear stories of the offense struggling against the defense? Is it okay if you're getting close and you feel like the quarterback's going to pop, but it hasn't happened yet? Do you worry when you hear that sort of thing? 312-644-6767. Mullion Hall on the score.
Odyssey celebrates National Hispanic Heritage Month, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Why does this room look amazing? What'd you change?
Oh, I just got these custom shades from Blinds.com. It's all online, so it's really easy. Great price, too.
Ugh, I remember shopping for blinds. I waited around all day just to get a quote.
Hi, sorry I'm late. I know you said just the bedroom, but what do you feel about the
I feel
bathroom?
Like I had to say yes, just to get rid of her.
All right, just go ahead and sign here and we'll get everything
it
taken
took
care
forever,
of.
It took forever, and the worst part, hidden fees. How about you?
I chatted with my Blinds.com design consultant on my time, got free samples, and it was all super high quality at a great price. Plus, they make it easy to DIY or add installation like I did.
Blinds.com sounds way better.
Way better. And everything comes with their 100% satisfaction guarantee. Plus, check this out. I can control them from my phone.
Whoa, magic.
There's a better way. Shop Blinds.com for up to 45% off. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
I mean, big connections today by the offense. I mean, just from my eyes, it didn't look like a good day for the offense. What did you see from the offense today?
Yeah, I saw DeAndre Swift, Khalil Herbert, Travis Homer. You know, I can go through, you know, a group of those explosive plays. And so feeling good about those, knowing that, hey, some of the shots down the field, you know, didn't connect on some of those. But the thing we love and shows up in the Hall of Fame game, you know, when you talk about different points in training camp and guys that get the ball in their hand and run after catchability. And to me, those are the things that really come to life as an offense grows in the games, in practice, you know, not getting frustrated if we don't connect on a deep shot, knowing, hey, we've stretched the defense vertically right there, but then we can come back and play efficient football, connect drives together, and then get the ball in our playmakers' hands.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 6-7 to the score. That is the voice of Shane Waldron. He is the Bears' offensive coordinator, and he's talking about what he's seeing thus far from their offense. And, you know, yesterday in particular, they had a bad day.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't have any explosive plays, and that is, you know, disconcerting. And the quarterback only completed two passes during 11-on-11 drill. David, it's, you know, I don't think that you judge every practice kind of as a hit or miss. I think you try to consider them learning, and the idea being that the quarterback is going to the right place with the ball depending on what's run against him.
I think it was a disappointing practice because of the way that we now cover practice.
Yes.
I think when you are Shane Waldron and the offensive coaching staff, much like if you're Eric Washington and the defensive coaching staff, you do look at it more collectively than you do individually when you're talking about progress and growth and practice by practice. We evaluate practices almost with a game-like approach because, look, there are a lot of outlets that cover the Bears. There are a lot of digital
publications. You see the DeAndre Swift catch.
You see this out there. And the Bears feed into that by taking that catch by DeAndre Swift one-handed and putting it on their social media feed and getting in.
That was from Ripien, right?
I think it might have been.
It's not.
Brett Ripien was maybe threw it. I don't even know who threw it, because who cares who threw it after you see the way he caught it. He caught it with one hand.
I'm just saying that's not even like a first team catch.
No, it isn't. But my point is, and I think you understand it, because we overreact and overanalyze each practice because of the nature of sports media today, and frankly, how addictive the NFL is and how appealing it is to a universal audience. So we find flaws in one practice. It's August 8th. There's a month to go to the regular season, and we ask the pertinent question: are they ready? Will the offensive line be intact? And it's okay. But when you hear Shane Waldron, this is the way coaches view it. It's like, oh, yeah, you know what? I can tell you everything is going well in the running back room because DeAndre Swift has looked great overall. Oh, Khalil Herbert, he had an explosive play. Travis Homer, everyone that covers the team has him cut. But let me tell you, he was pretty good. It's a lot different way to look at it.
It's so funny. I remember during the Trestman era, I remember going up to a practice. I can't remember if I was there for a lot of different practices on this particular trip, but I remember one particular practice because after it, he came out and he said that was one of the most intense physical practices I have ever seen in the NFL. And I was sitting there like, are you out of your mind? Like, that was nothing.
Mm-hmm.
That was, they didn't even really hit. I think they were in shells. And then everyone reports that they had one of the most intense and physical practices anyone's ever seen. But if you were there, you'd be like, it wasn't even that. Like, I've done tours of camps and I've seen real practices. That was nothing, sir. That was not a tough, intense physical practice.
Compared to what, though? See, that's the thing about coaches when they talk about these things. It's Mark Trestman in that example. That was a physical practice, maybe relative to what the previous practices were.
How bad is practice?
Yeah, how bad have they been? So, current day, Shane Waldron yesterday, when he's asked about the offense and Caleb Williams or the running backs with DeAndre Swift, he's looking at the relative progress they made or where they are since they arrived.
Yeah.
And so in that context, I think it's not as bad as it seems when you see the numbers. Oh, my God, he only completed two passes in 11-on-11. That means they're going to lose the opener to the Titans. No, that just means that you've got a rookie quarterback. They're going to be ups and downs. And practice is what practice is, trial and error.
Mm-hmm.
And nobody's going to be fully committed to practice the way they will be fully invested in games.
And you're so right. Because everyone's covering it, because there are these snippets that are out there, we have a lot more information than we would in terms of just watching something happen on the field, on the practice field. Well, they're working on this now. Look, they've done that. and they're trying to get him to do this. Okay, now I understand where they're going. There's a ton of information to learn just by watching a practice. By, you know, I always took the roster with me, and you know how obsessed I am with the flip card, etc. And I would just, you know, make sure everybody was on the field. That's how you figure out who's not playing and who, and then you double check on all that stuff. But you also look at the depth chart. You look at, oh, they're going with this guy today. That means something else is going on here. Oh, they moved this guy over there. They will be working on and doing things that is in front of you. And if you're not like watching it and noting it, you're going to miss it.
That's why the perspective of the people who cover those practices on a regular basis is so valuable to talk to.
I totally agree.
And not just because we once upon a time did that as well, but yesterday, for instance, you hear Brad Biggs' perspective of why the offense struggled. You heard from Mark Grody, we played in the first segment, and you respect that opinion. He's kind of fed up with the Nate Davis thing because he's out there on a regular basis watching.
Where is this guy? Why can't they tell us what his problem is? Is there a problem?
All valid points, and different people have different things they listen for. What I heard from Shane Waldron in the clip coming in that stood out to me, talking about the running backs, I think DeAndre Swift is a guy that is at the top of many lists of people when they start talking about the running game. I think he's been one of the more overlooked new players on the Bears because of the focus on Caleb Williams and the receivers and how good the defense is. He is number one. I think he's going to have a good year. But I felt like the inclusion of Khalil Herbert as the next name after DeAndre Swift was interesting to me from Shane Waldron because I think you have Roschon Johnson. I think that Khalil Herbert's a guy that has maybe – plateaued in Chicago. That's my opinion.
Yeah,
not
that's
theirs.
Interesting. Right.
Not theirs. I'm saying that's my opinion.
I know it is.
But if they value something about him in a skill set that might complement DeAndre Swift, he's going to be here. And whether or not he's here or not will affect the Velus Jones question, the receiver question, a lot of questions that are pertinent and we ask on a regular basis.
I think Roschon Johnson is down right now. He's got some knock, right? He did not practice. So that's another thing you got to be aware of. There's a reason one guy's out there, maybe because the other guy isn't. And then when he does something, it stays in the coach's mind as opposed to a guy that's not available.
But we heard from Flusie. Can you lose your job, whether it's a starter or a backup, because of an injury? The answer at Bears camp is yes.
I hope that's the case. I hope that's the case.
He said it. If you're trying to build credibility and you're Matt Eberflus, you better mean it. You better mean what you say.
But Matt Eberflus has said a couple times now, he's referenced Nate Davis and the injury and not being there and about how intense you have to practice, hard, all that stuff. Mm-hmm. Whenever you hear from Shane Waldron, he's our starting guy. He has got a completely different outlook on it.
Because it's good cop, bad cop.
It's exactly
it's
right.
It's good cop, bad cop. And you have to have the yin and yang and that balance because that's the offensive coordinator. That's the guy who's in the more meetings with the right guard and the offensive line. Look, Matt Eberflus, as much as we want to focus on what he was sending in terms of a message to Nate Davis, it was a message that was to that entire locker room, I think. All 90 guys are going out to practice, all 53 that will make the team. They know, in no uncertain terms, the head coach believes you can lose your job if you're missing enough practice time, too much practice time because of an injury.
Yep.
So you know what that says to every guy who has an owie? Get well soon. Or else. There's an implied or else that I love from a football coach.
Well, I just think it's very football coachy, I think.
It is.
You know, there has to be that, and you have to feel that way. I just wonder if that exists. Because Nate Davis came in with a reputation as not wanting to practice. He really wasn't available for various reasons. I think there was a death in the family, whatever it was. He did not really do a lot in training camp. And then he was injured in season, by the way. But now here we are again, and we don't know. It seems like a mysterious ailment because the way they're handling it is not similar to the way that you would handle, say, a guy doing his knee or whatever it might be.
That philosophy is applied on a case-by-case basis.
Yes.
But you have to amplify that philosophy as if everybody is held to the same standard. If you don't, it doesn't work. So, yes, this is for Nate Davis, intended for him, and you've got to have that approach. But let's be honest here. If DJ Moore misses the next 2 weeks of practice, or Cole Kmet, I'm just thinking of guys who have solid locks on their positions.
Yes.
Guys who you are going to count on no matter what.
Guys who have excellent work ethics.
Of course.
Work ethics where you wouldn't be concerned if they weren't on the field because you know they're putting in all the work and they're going to do everything humanly possible.
Other side of the ball. If Tyreek Stevenson misses 2 weeks of practice, will he have his starting spot jeopardized because Terrell Smith takes a step forward or maybe somebody else looks better or is dominant or promising in that role? Maybe he'll want to get back sooner because the message that was sent Nate Davis, he heard loud and clear, but doesn't mean he's going to lose his job. It means he wants to get back sooner.
If Kyler Gordon misses 2 weeks of practice, it's almost expected because he seems like one of these kind of
quick twitch
athletes that, as you say, there's always a strain or something going on. He's always on the list.
I saw Jaquan Brisker miss practice yesterday.
Yeah.
That always raises an eyebrow for me. You always wonder about his
tough, hard-nosed safety.
Yes.
If he's missing practice, something's wrong.
Also because of his history with missing games.
Yes.
You'd like to see him play 16 or 17. But by the same token, to my point, Jaquan Brisker could miss the next 3 weeks with an injury. Let's hope he doesn't, and still be on track to start week one because that is his job, and nobody questions his commitment. When you question certain guys' commitment, you're going to send that message loud and clear, but you're sending it for that guy specifically, but the whole team collectively needs to hear it.
You know, again, it's the sort of thing where you don't – let's put it this way, and we have a texter saying, why don't you just say that Nate Davis's mom passed? Yeah, I believe he lost his mother. And that is why he wasn't available.
That was a year ago.
That's what I'm saying.
I
want to just make this comment. So he did miss time, and there is a grieving period, and everybody was sympathetic about it. But then the next year, when you got some knock, a mystery knock, and you're missing time, the fact that you missed time the last year, that adds to the idea that, okay, he doesn't want to practice. And I'm not saying that's right. I'm saying there's a normal grieving process. Everyone understands. Everyone wants to give you time. Everyone wants to be careful about it. Then the next year, if you're not wanting to practice again, it changes from, well, that was a grieving thing. It changes to, look at this guy, doesn't want to practice. It's just the way people perceive
things. That's exactly right. It's professional football. And not to be insensitive or anything like that, but something that happened a year ago cannot be used as an alibi for a lack of commitment this year.
Exactly.
That's so far... so far in the past that it doesn't really even apply. It's only pertinent as an explanation for why he got off to a slow start in his first year as a Bear. But certainly there has to be some factors that still contribute to why Matt Eberflus would be so pointed with his comments to a veteran that they have guaranteed a lot of money to.
Yeah, because they want him to get up and running.
Yeah.
It's as simple as that. Anyway, there's a lot of guys out, a lot of guys banged up. We'll find out more. Again, with this practice today, it's always the day after you have the pads on, always interesting to see who's hurt, who's banged up, et cetera. Because, you know, you do. You work hard. And football is just a game of it's constant. That the injuries are constant. None of these are serious injuries, mercifully, or at least to our understanding, none of them are.
And we're going to hear from Matt Eberflus later today so he can maybe amplify his message or tell us when he's getting his haircut next.
Jeez. We got to wait for your director to show us that one. How about that? How about you got a barber in the house? That's pretty awesome.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah. Oh, to be an NFL player. You could really
Or a coach. He gets his haircut every week.
Yeah.
Or every two like Dustin.
Every 2 weeks.
Oh, that was Brandon. I'm sorry. That was Brandon.
Brandon's every 2 weeks. Justin's like once every 3 months.
That was a stray. If I could afford it to get it cut every 2 weeks at Great Clips, I would. But
that was a stray. I'm sorry, Dustin. I meant Brandon.
Yeah. 312-644-6767. Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 to the score.
Feeling good. Proud of everyone. This is personally the hardest, training camp that I've been through, 6 day stretch. So just proud of the guys, how we all handled it, how we fought through. And we knew it was going to be the thickest part of training camp. So I think we got better each and every day. Still got some stuff to clean up, but overall, good stretch.
That is the man. That's Justin Fields. He's talking about Pittsburgh training camp. Pittsburgh, a different city altogether, a different team. The Steelers aren't the Bears. They're completely different.
Different mentality.
But they're in the NFL.
Different mentality for Justin Fields. The
tough
toughest
practice.
Training camp. He is not only persevered, but ascended in the mind of these Pittsburgh Steelers.
He's the man. He's going to
start Friday.
He's going to start the whole year. I thought I told you that.
Okay. So this is good.
What's wrong with Russ?
To keep track of the Russell Wilson versus Justin Fields battle, because difference is a sixth round pick versus a fourth round pick for the Bears.
Yes, that's all it is.
I think that difference is totally overstated, but
I'm breaking my hump trying to get you a fourth round pick, mister.
I know. So Russ hasn't practiced yet, or he's limited.
What's he got?
I'm not quite sure. He's got a calf or maybe something like that. Justin Fields has taken advantage of that tough training camp, and now he's going to start Friday night. I think it's great. If he looks accurate, if he looks explosive, if he looks all the things that Bears fans have seen in small sample sizes and glimpses over the last 3 years, then he's going to put himself in a good position to start the opener for the Steelers. I still think it's Russell Wilson's job to lose, but we'll monitor it occasionally because, you know, you're winning right now because you think that Justin Fields will start more games than Russell Wilson. I think not, but we'll see.
I want the pick. I'm not winning. It's not about me. It's about
you. It is about you. It doesn't really matter. The pick, you know, if we go back and look, this year the Bears drafted a punter in the fourth round.
Yes.
You couldn't have gotten that punter in the sixth round? What do you think?
I'm delighted they got the punter.
Okay, me too. But
here's the thing. If you draft a punter with a fourth round pick, you can look at them askew easily because it's a very high pick for a punter. And that's the kind of position that you can fill without much difficulty. However, the general manager said, that's the best punter I've ever seen. He said that.
I know. And so that's worth it. Can we try to book him, you think?
Yeah, let's get him
because
on.
Because I want to go through an entire interview.
Dustin's been letting us down.
No, he hasn't been. No, he has. That's not. I want to go through an entire interview with Tory Taylor without referencing Australia.
But yeah, we will never even mention it. I might make an obscure reference to England.
No,
to
no, you won't. Don't do it. Because
no, I'm just saying.
We need, no, we can't refer to anything outside of Cook County or Lake County.
Well,
so not even Iowa. We need to talk ball with him. Just ball. That's what he wants. He sounds a little fed up. I'm a little concerned because we didn't see him on Hard Knocks. The last time we heard from him was a press conference. He was he's kind of snippy, and you just don't want to see that. He's tired of talking about his nicknames, snakes, all the things. So we need to have a football conversation with the punter.
Listen, I would love to have a football conversation with him. I've got plenty of questions for the punter about punting that has nothing to do with his homeland. Dustin, again, where the hell's Jerry Reinsdorf? I thought we said let's reach out to him, and why are we struggling now?
I don't think anybody took that seriously.
To get a punter on.
I don't think anybody took that seriously.
No, I'm dead serious.
I am too.
I would like to get the formal no, so we can say, well, we invited Jerry. In fact, we told him we would go to him. He doesn't have to do anything. We will drive out there. We will fly to Arizona. No, we're not flying.
This is what I would like Friday's show to look like.
Thank you.
I want to have Tory Taylor probably in the 9 o'clock hour.
Nice. Let him sleep in a little.
We want Ron Coomer on Friday at 8. That's a staple.
Have to talk to the Coomer.
We'd like Jerry Reinsdorf at 7 o'clock. He's up early. Let's go.
He's got to be away.
Let's go.
Hey, you know what? Let's bag the pick six and just do Jerry.
We don't have to. We don't have to bag the pick six. Jerry wants to go.
Pick six is at 7.
But we have at least 6 questions for Jerry Reinsdorf that would be worth answering.
There you go. That's it.
Now go ahead and ask me whatever you want to ask me, and I'll answer whatever I feel like.
See, that's perfect.
Fair enough.
88 years old.
All I want to know is the plan.
The plan.
What's the plan?
So that would be a good...
Is there a
guess.
And if we're not going to be in an Ohtani race. I'll tell you that right now. I'll give you.
Not so funny.
He's signed now, so we can let that one go.
89 losses later.
Yeah.
Comma.
It should have been in the Ohtani race.
I would also like, by the way, I don't want to get greedy here, but if we have Tory Taylor, Jerry Reinsdorf, and Coom, because we need Coom on a Friday morning. Need to ask him about the Twins. Remind me tomorrow.
Oh, that's so good.
And I want Saban.
Oh, yeah. Hey, Dustin, where the hell is Nick Saban?
I want Saban. Saban, Reinsdorf, Tory Taylor, and Coombe.
Let's talk to
Saban.
That's
the perfect show.
All right. That's good.
All right.
We're booked. We're set. Tune in tomorrow.
Tune in tomorrow. But keep here today. We're going to talk to Alex Maragos next.
Yeah, we're going to talk some Olympics. We're going to head out to Paris and talk to Alex. We'll do that next. Mully and Haw on the score.
Why does this room look amazing? What'd you change?
Oh, I just got these custom shades from Blinds.com. It's all online, so it's really easy. Great price, too.
Ugh, I remember shopping for blinds. I waited around all day just to get a quote.
Hi, sorry I'm late. I know you said just the bedroom, but what do you feel about the
bathroom?
I feel
like I had to say yes, just to get rid of her.
All right, just go ahead and sign here and we'll get everything taken care of.
It took forever, and the worst part, hidden fees. How about you?
I chatted with my Blinds.com design consultant on my time, got free samples, and it was all super high quality at a great price. Plus, they make it easy to DIY or add installation like I did.
Blinds.com sounds way better.
Way better. And everything comes with their 100% satisfaction guarantee. Plus, check this out. I can control them from my phone.
Whoa, magic.
There's a better way. Shop Blinds.com for up to 45% off. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.